thank you for this time right now, Lord, that we can be in your house and be in your presence, Lord God, that we can just sit here at your feet and worship you. Father, make it all real to us, Lord. Make it in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, who you are and what you have in store for us today, this week, and from this moment forward, Lord God. You are the light of the world. And Father, because we know you, that light can shine through us and rivet through us throughout this community and no matter where we go. We are your hands and your feet, Lord God. We take the gospel everywhere we go, Lord God. Use us in a mighty way, Lord. Father, I thank you for this team that's here to serve you, Lord God. Bless them. Bless them. Father, prepare our hearts and our minds for your word today so that we might receive what you want us to know and come to get you in a deeper way, Lord. We just desire you. We love you. And we give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, worship. Outstanding. This is an army. God sent us an army. Amen. God bless you. I appreciate that. I love that. Where's my brother, Pastor Rich? Come on up here, Rich. I want Rich to kind of explain to you a little bit and share for a minute with you before I go into my message about what Cutting is. Rich and I have known each other. It's been almost 20 years now. It's crazy. I won't tell you how I know him, but I've known this man a long time, long time.
One of our mission trips.
It was one of the very first times I preached was on one of the mission trips. It's like, right, he threw me in and said, you know what, here, you do it. And I was like, are you kidding me? He's like, no, you just go do it. So God bless you, brother. I appreciate you and your group here. God bless you. So
am I on? Is it okay? Good. He said I only have an hour and a half, so I hope you guys are good with that. I just wanted to thank Byron and Cindy for coming out and just inviting us out to do ministry and to partner with you to impact the city. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine like lights in the world. Cutting Edge's purpose is to raise up the next generation of missionaries to impact the world with the gospel. And this is an entry level. This is something that we do. We bring them to a city across America, partner with a fantastic ministry that has a heart for the hurting and gives them an opportunity to do ministry with that ministry so they can learn how to do ministry. Because we can learn all day about ministry in colleges and seminary, but unless we're doing the work of the ministry, we really don't know, right? And so we want to be able to do that. We want to be able to partner with ministries that do have that heart. We avoid ministries that don't, because it doesn't do any good to bring students on a mission field where they really don't have a heart for the hurting and a heart for people. And so God is blessing the work that we've done, and we've been able to mobilize hundreds and even a few thousand students over the years to come out all over America ministering the gospel. There was one young man that came with us to Atlanta several years ago. Said he'd never been on a mission trip in his life. One of the quietest kids I've ever met. He was a college student. He never said a word the whole time he was doing ministry. So when we were going back, I asked him, I said, Matt, tell me about your experience. Did you like it? And he was like, yep. And I'm like, that's it? That's all I get? Yep. He goes, it was good. I go, that's all? It was good? I mean, you see the things we were doing out there? He goes, okay, it was really good. I'm like, okay. He hated it. He just wanted to be polite. That next 6 months later, he wrote me a letter and said, because of my life-changing experience in Atlanta, I have committed several months of my life next summer to spend in India doing the work of the ministry. And so God just does great things. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. That's not us. And that's what we want to do. We want to raise up the next generation of missionaries. So, Pastor, I just really appreciate you allowing us to come in to serve and do whatever we can to be a blessing to this ministry.
Amen.
Amen. I also want to thank Alex Grom. If you want to stand up real quick. Alex. Yeah. Alex and I have been working together a long, long time. He's put up with me for a long, long time. My absent-mindedness or whatever, but God has done some great things. He actually leads, he first started bringing teams down. He had a ministry where they had 30 to 50 students in it several years. And he's now a senior high pastor at a church called Eagle Brook that has over 16,000 members. And his ministry has, I think, over between 600 and 700 students in it, just in the high school ministry alone. God is blessing that work. And I'm privileged to be able to partner with Alex as well, to be able to come all over America and expose kids to great ministries. Amen? All right. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you. Let's thank them. Immediately following the service, while we're doing the feeding downstairs, we're going to meet briefly with the leadership team right afterwards. So, and y'all that are here this year, next year, if you come back next year, come the week of 4th of July so you can be a part of all of that ministry stuff that's going on. Don't get me wrong. We're going to use y'all this week. Because we need help setting this stuff up and preparing for the stuff that's next week. And y'all are going to bless us getting it ready. We're literally going to impact thousands of people in this city. And it happens every single year. So if you really want some grassroots ministry stuff going on and on a whole nother level, the week of the 4th, you know, just Alex, I'm just saying. So let's put my title of today's message up. Everybody yell that. Hey? One more time. Hey? All right. Hey, Blockhead. The reason why it's titled Hey, Blockhead is because I want you to leave here this week today thinking about Hey, Blockhead. Because you're going to run into moments this week where you're going to get to use that on your peers. But I want to have fun with it. So, here's the thing. Hey, Blockhead. The Lord gave me this title over a week ago, and I forgot that you all were coming. And I started doing a different message over like 3-4 days ago. And the Lord said, no, that's not what I told you to do. I told you to do the Blockhead message. And I was like, okay, Lord, Blockhead. Well, I don't know anything about Blockhead. So he said, think about it. Where was it when you first heard it? And I thought, Charlie Brown. Thinking, yeah, Charlie Brown. Hey, Blockhead, Charlie Brown. So then I started looking at, well, what is a blockhead? I started thinking, I remember Lucy used to call him that all the time. Well, what really does that mean? I thought, all right, well, let's look it up. So I looked up the meaning of the word blockhead. Blockhead is a stupid person, a dunce, a numbskull, or a fool. Okay, cool. So, yep, we're going to be seeing signs of that this week, trust me. So let's put up the first picture, if we can, with the two of Charlie Brown and Lucy. Do we have that up there? Can we do that? No, the other one. They're sitting down in the grass. First one on the slide. Nope, first one. There we go, that one. There we go. I love we got cartoons, y'all. Sunday morning cartoons. I love it. This is so awesome. All right. So here it is, Charlie Brown and Lucy. Here's the thing. Lucy would always pull out the football from Charlie Brown just at the time he was getting ready to kick this football, right? So let's throw up the next slide, the ugh slide. See, what was going on is he knew that she was going to pull it away, and yet every time he went along with what she wanted to do and still did it anyway. Duh. Blockhead for sure. He even knew what the outcome was going to be and she would still coax him into doing it. Duh. Let's go to the one where he's laying on the ground. Here it is. She pulls the football away. He's laying on the ground. And as he lays on the ground, he would hear the words always that would ponder in his mind. Hey, blockhead. He's laying there feeling pretty sorry for himself. Now, see, why do we do things that we know are bad for us? Things that we know, no matter what the situation is, even if we know the outcome is not going to be good for us, sometimes we still step into that bad situation. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? We compromise sometimes. We compromise the things that we know and believe to be true, and we gamble on our flesh and the emotions. See, we do this, understandably, we do this, I think, because we have this urge, something happening inside of us, that we can control our outcomes. But we can't control our outcomes. See, we put trust in ourselves instead of trust in our Heavenly Father. And that's not what we need to be doing. We need to be changing how we think and realizing we shouldn't be putting any trust in ourselves. And especially man. Lucy represents man holding that football. Trust me, it'll be okay. And we see that's not going to be the case. See, we seem to have trouble also when we apply it spiritually. See, when we're supposed to use it and obey God and doing whatever he says, and no matter what the outcome, some of us have trouble stepping into that obedience, stepping into obeying God and doing whatever he says, no matter the cost, no matter the cost. We gamble on our flesh and our instincts, and we trust those instead of trusting God. And then when it doesn't work out, what do? We wonder why things didn't go our way, and we end up in a bad situation. Let's put up the black and white slide. Here, Charlie Brown is sitting in his bedroom. And I'll let you read that. I love that. See, here he is. Sometimes I lie awake at night and ask, where have I gone wrong? And then I hear a voice that says to me, which we're going to say that's God, the Holy Spirit talking to him. This is going to take more than one night, my son, for you to understand. See, we step into situations. We step into things. We don't understand how we got there. And then when they don't go wrong, we go, well, what happened? We didn't listen. But God was probably trying to capture your attention for a long time. He probably was giving you hints and signs for a long time. But we ignored those signs. So let's put it in a biblical perspective. Let's do a little history. If you have your Bibles or your iPods and cell phone, whatever your little funky gadgets are, and you get your scriptures on them, pull them out. We're going to go to Acts 5, 14 through 29. And here we're talking about how the people passed within Peter's shadow. And when that happened, they were supernaturally healed. And when this took place, this was not by Peter's shadow, but by God's power working through Peter. Peter was just an obedient tool being used in the moment. Now, I want to talk about an obedient tool being used in the moment. Missionaries are obedient tools being used in the moment. And I say this because my wife and I are missionaries, have been for a long time. We have missionary hearts. We used to do just like you. We used to bring teams of young people right here to this city to do service and to other cities to do service. And we've been partnering with Cutting Edge for a long time. So I understand what you're doing, why you're doing it, and how you're doing it. But now I want to talk about it from a whole different perspective. The verses say, starting at 14. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their numbers. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns of Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of Sadducees were filled with jealousy. And I bolded, filled with jealousy. See, they arrested the apostles and then put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out and said, "Go stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people about this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple of the courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together at Sanhedrin the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and they sent them to the jail for the apostles. But on the arrival of the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "Hey, we found the jail securely locked with guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple, the guard, and the chief priest were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings." Bold. "We must obey God rather than human beings, risking obedience at all cost, following Christ, no matter the outcome, no matter if you stone us, throw us in jail." And look, when God's on your side, you get thrown into jail, he can bust you out. It's cool. Be like, "You know, God, I just kind of need a little, can you get me out of this situation?" And he's like, "I got you. Let me get this lock for you. Go out there and do what I sent you to do." See, and that's how we need to be thinking, boldly. So how do you make your decisions? Do you try to determine what will benefit you the most? Or do you try to please or impress others? Maybe you're the kind that lets your emotions take control and aid you in logical choices. Well, let me share something with you. See, wise men and women learn very early to obey God, and they leave all of the consequences left to him. If you want to be wise in the Lord, learn to obey him at all costs. Don't worry about the consequences. Don't worry about the outcome. Don't think. Just do, and it'll be okay, and he'll take care of it. So don't expect, now understand that there is nothing more important in life than following Jesus and trusting him to care for all of your needs. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. Trust him, and everything's going to be okay. He'll satisfy us, take care of all our needs. Now, don't expect everyone to react favorably, though, to you sharing your faith. Because that's a whole nother animal. Folks, folks out there ain't going to understand. You know, they all look at us as those granola Christians, fruits, nuts, and flakes. You know, they I get that. They see us, you know. So, you know, but see, here's the thing. People sometimes also will be jealous of you or afraid or threatened by you. See, you need to expect negative reactions and remember that we need to be more concerned with serving and obeying God than rather the reactions of people. That's what we're supposed to do. Don't worry about the people. See, now what does the Bible say about obedience and obeying God? Well, let's see. We have some biblical examples. See, when the apostles were told to stop preaching in Jesus' name, what did they do? They responded, "We must obey God rather than men." That was one of our first examples. We have examples of sowing and reaping of obedience. In Galatians 6:7, it says, "Whatever a man sows, he will also reap." See, every action has an impact for good or evil. Our decisions and our choices can determine the quality of our lives. There are also examples of disobedience. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out, as it says in Numbers 32:23. And I wrote that out and I went, "Be sure your sin will find you out." Not it might, not it could, it will find you out. So that means whatever you think you're doing that you're getting away with now, whether if it's smoking, drinking, sex, parties, hanging out with the wrong people, think you're getting away over something on your parents, you think you're not, I'm just letting you know, you're going to be found out. In fact, what our teenage kids, when they were teenagers, we used to pray that they get caught for everything that they did. And they did, because the Lord loves us. So, you know, so I'm just letting you know, your parents love you too, and if you think you're getting away with something, you're not. You might be for a minute, but, you know, you're not. So just put it out there. So change your thinking and get it right, because He loves you too. So no matter what you do, especially if we sin, we will get caught. In fact, I used to think that this thing, you know how you always hear about how, you know how moms always just know stuff? Moms just know stuff. My mother could call me. She don't even live in this state. And she could call me and know that she could tell when something was wrong with me. And she could tell when I was doing something I didn't need to be doing. She could pick up the phone and just call. And I was like, how does she do this? How does she do this? This woman is not here. She's still in my business and I'm grown. How does she know this? I'm thinking, man, you know, and here's the thing. See, the secular world will call that the women's intuition. But see, when you walk in the Lord, that's called discernment of the Holy Spirit. See, and, you know, and when you have the God part with that, danger zone. Can't win. But imagine how different the stories in the Bible would be and Scripture would be if man knew what disobeying would cost him at the time that he disobeyed. See, Adam and Eve then would have never eaten the forbidden fruit. Life would have been different. Things would have been totally different. The nation of Israel would have chosen to fight for the promised land the first time around instead of wandering for 40 years in the desert. After seeing Bathsheba bathing, David would have turned away and walked back inside. Right? I mean, let's be real, right? Yeah. Jonah would have willingly traveled to Nineveh to preach the word of God. Jesus knew the cost of his obedience, and yet he still did it for us. He knew his cost. He knew the outcome. And he set the example, and he still did what he did for us. That's amazing. His obedient sacrifice cost him his very life. If someone said, "I can tell you when you're going to die, how you're going to die, the day you're going to die, and what's going to happen to you on that day." I mean, think about that. It's huge. And yet, you must do these things to save everyone. Wow. And most of us are blockheads. And he did it to save all of us. It's amazing to me. It's powerful. So let's look at the faithful biblical characters. We have some very faithful biblical characters. See, the Lord rewards those who are willing to follow his commands. Guarantee you that. Noah was what? He was asked to build a boat. See, and this made him the laughingstock of his community. See, when the flood came, I bet the folks weren't laughing then. I bet they were going, man, we should listen to Noah. He knew. How did he know what was going on? God, they said he was talking to that guy, and God was telling them something. I don't know how they got there, but he knew out there building that boat. And they was talking about him. Like there was John running their mouths, talking about him, calling him nutty, flaky, stupid, numbskull, probably a blockhead. Yeah, yeah, exactly. They didn't get it. They didn't get him. But he followed and obeyed. And he was prepared because he obeyed. See, Moses, a desert nomad, had to appear before Pharaoh, the leader of the most powerful civilization, and demand freedom for the Israelites. Ultimately, because of what he did and his obedience, the people were let go. What if he didn't listen to God and obey God? God sent him to the place and said, you going to go to the highest, most powerful folks and going to tell them, I said to let your people go. Stand up there and go do that. What if Moses was like, I can't go up there and talk to them people. They're going to kill me if I go up there. I'm not going up there. I'm not doing that. No, you sure you talking to me? I need to pray some more. I don't know. And that's exactly what he didn't do. He just said, yes, I'm going to go do this and take care of this. Joshua was told to march around Jericho for 7 days instead of relying on the military tactics that he knew. And see, now to me, that's huge because God destroyed the enemy, which we know. But the large part of the lesson here is that it didn't matter how much he knew or how much you know or how smart you are, how well you're trained. Hey, blockhead, you need to follow Jesus and not what you think you know. Whoa. This guy, he knew so much. And he was like, I'm trained. You know how we get. I got this. No, I'm schooled, educated, trained. I know how to do this. I had a whole day in training on this. I can take a whole group to war. I've got this. Don't worry about it. Yep. Nope. God's with me. Yep. It's good. Come on, God. Let's go. We got this. We're going to do this. Yep. No. I hear you, but no. I'm trained. And, you put me through the training, so I know what I'm supposed to do. Well, no. God's trying to say, no. I need you to rely on me and put all that stuff that you think you know and cast it aside. Nineveh boldly asked the Babylonian king for supplies to rebuild Jerusalem. And received everything that he needed, including guards to help him safely reach the city. Boldly obedience. While in captivity, David and his three friends refused to eat the meat because it was not prepared according to the Hebrew dietary laws. They asked for veggies and water, and yet they were healthier than any other men. Obedience. Doing what you know is right and walking in truth. There's power in that. Peter and the apostles refused to stop preaching about Jesus, even though they knew that they would be threatened and flogged and imprisoned. See, as believers, we have some requirements. What are those requirements? Well, first, we need to understand and believe that God is sovereign. See, he controls all things at all times. In Psalms 103:19, it says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. Not in Minnesota, not in Wisconsin, Madison, where I'm from, not here in New Orleans, not in the United States, not in Europe, not in Africa, not in Australia. It's all, everything. His kingdom rules over all. We need to trust that he will work for our good in every situation and every circumstance. We need to trust that, as it says in Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who what? That's right. Who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So first question is I guess we got to check ourselves at the door and say, God, do I love you? And if I know that I love you, then I know that you will be able to work through me so I can get out and do what you've called me to do. See, we need to do this all of the time and not when it's just convenient for us or when it's desirable for us. Love the Lord all the time and let him know. And actually, that's number three. Love the Lord on my notes. The Bible says that we should love him by obeying his commands. Obeying his commands shows love to God. In 1 John 5:3 says, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. We do this all of the time. That is what we're supposed to do. We're also supposed to, after we love him, we need to listen to him. Listen to what he has to say. Exodus 15:26. The Lord said to Moses to tell the people, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals. So, and I bolded, highlighted, and underlined, pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees. Not the ones that just work for you, not the ones that are good today, not the ones that you just want to do. It's keeping them all. Hardest lesson I had to learn when I was some of your guys' age was that piece right there. Because no one said, hey, blockhead, wake up and pay attention. You're only keeping decrees that work for you so you can compromise your life and do the things that you still want to do. And when you walk in Christ, when you walk and do what you do and you want to be who you are, walk boldly in with the Spirit and let folks who you are in Christ. Be courageous. Obeying God takes courage because following his commands will often lead to conflict. Guaranteed, it will lead to some conflict. See, you must be willing to do what is right at all costs. Joshua 1:7 says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all of the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right nor to the left, that you may be successful in whatever you do. So if I pay attention to what that's saying, is that saying that I need to stay on a path that was given to me, follow the rules of the path and the laws that were given to me. If I stray and go this way, I'm outside of my protection and my covering. If I go stray and go this way, I'm outside of that protection and my covering. But if I stay on that path and follow the rules that the Lord has given to me, I'm protected, I'm covered, I'm secured, I'm okay. Things are going to be all right because he's all right, so I'm good. Joshua 1:18 says, whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Let me tell you something. There's a time coming I'm going to die. I do not want it because I ain't being obedient and doing something that he said that I don't want to be put to death because I'm being wrong. You understand what I'm saying? You hear me? So we need to make sure that we're following what he has commanded us to do. And we make it so difficult. And it's not that difficult. It's very, very simple. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, these three verses, there's a theme here. The theme here is having courage in the Lord. Not being afraid of a thing. Not worrying about what people think about you, what folks are going to say about you, what you might be called. Stand up and for who you are and what you know and what truth is. Stand up for it. If we're all, I said this once before a few weeks ago, if we're all God has, say if we were the only Christians in the world, was right here in this room, and we were it. One, he still would have come to save each and every one of you. Two, he would be trusting all of us to go be his hands and feet and take his word out to the nations. It would be just up to us. And that's how we need to think. Fully surrender to him and his will. See, what are the results of obedience? Well, see, you will experience personal victory. Guaranteed. You obey him, you will have personal victory. If you follow his will, even the world may not consider you a success. That doesn't matter. Psalms 25 says, may we shout for joy over your victory and lift up your banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Psalm 26 says, now this I know. I love this. Now this I know. The Lord gives victory to his anointed and he answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Anybody in here need a personal victory or something? Amen. I know. Yeah, that's right. No, that did not convince God. Anybody in here need a personal victory from something? Let me hear you. Yeah. Because he's watching. He's like, I can see him going, my children, they ain't convinced yet. And he's telling me I got more work to do. So here we are. A breakthrough. If you need that, you're in God's house. You can have success through your obedience. And through your obedience, you can get out there and have your victory. And that victory can be a breakthrough for a deliverance in healing or anxiety or depression or alcohol or pornography or just angry parents or stupid teachers or whoever they are, just tired of them all, and just whatever you're going through, break those chains. And you do it through obedience through Christ. So here's what you do. Follow this verse, Joshua 1:8, and I have this highlighted. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Everybody should have that verse on the refrigerator. And just when you go and every time you open it, you see it, be like, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. Yep. Keep the law on my lips and meditate on it day and night and be careful so I can do what's written in it. Boy, isn't that the answer? That's the key. That is the key. Amen. So obedience leads to supernatural peace and joy in every circumstance. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with a hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Is that not what your Bible says? That's what mine says. Filled with peace and joy. We also get, with obedience, spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. See, this is the result of when believers continue to walk with God in the midst of suffering. When you choose to walk with God, even in a bad situation. Anybody been through a bad situation? Anybody called on God in that bad situation? Amen. That's right. Ephesians 4:1. I love this. Unity and maturity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Everybody in this room has had a calling on their life in some way. Right now, you answer the call to come here to serve people. Amen. See, our call to Christian maturity with obedience is a call to go deeper in our faith. Let me say that again. Our call to Christian maturity with obedience is a call to go deeper in our faith and not to fall away from what we know is true. So, what are some warnings that we should pay attention to when we fall away? Well, in Hebrews 5:11, it says, we have much to say about this. But it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk and not solid food. And anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. What did we talk about in the beginning? Why do we do things that we know are wrong and bad for us? Why do we step into those things? Boy, are we still drinking milk? I know that everybody says it's good food, but it's not the food. The word is the food. And we need to fill ourselves with that word so we're strong in what he needs us to do. Applying these lessons now. How do we apply some of these lessons? Well, let's talk about that. First of all, has this ever happened to anybody? God may ask you to do something that doesn't make any sense at all from a human perspective. When you know God tells you to do something and no one else understands why he told you to do it. I'll give you an example. Happened to my wife and I just recently. Separately, and then we talked about it and figured that God was telling us the same thing. We, as pastors, are involved in multiple ministries. 5 days out of 7, day, night, from 8 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. We got stuff going on ministry-wise. We are trying to be everywhere and do everything. We need to get to places and do stuff. And God spoke to us and said, give your car away. And so that's what we did. We gave our car away. And then we turned around and went, hey, how are we going to get to here? Because you got to be there and I got to be here in ministry. But we had two cars. Yeah, we had two cars. So we have one car now. We have one car now. So we're trying to figure out how to share and figure out how we have schedules that aren't always the same. And so, but we obeyed and we stepped into that. And miraculously, God turned around. It's been 7 days later. Someone emailed and sent my wife a message and say, hey, the Lord told us to give a car away. Do you know anybody that needs a car? So, you know, when you step in and you and obey, I mean, I can tell you story after story since we've been here in New Orleans about obedience of what God has done for us just by doing things supernaturally and stepping into things and just, I'm telling you, obey the Lord. Step into it and obey what he has to say at all costs. It may make no sense at all. None whatsoever. But just do what he's telling you. Sometimes the Father may lead you to give up a hobby or donate a valuable item to you. Has anyone ever had that happen? Amen. Sometimes the Lord will place something upon your heart to give financially above and beyond what you know you can do, especially when you know your money ain't right. If your money's, you know, sometimes if it's a little light, you're like, you know, Lord, I really can't do this. I can't do this. And he may press upon your heart to do it, to give above and beyond what you do. He may cause you to do that. How about this? The Lord might want you to serve in a local church or take on a new role in leadership, although you may feel inadequate. Obey. Step into it. That's the Holy Spirit tugging on you, saying, hey, I got something for you. It's time to step in and press in. As Christians, we should have a strong, passionate desire to obey God. Strong and passionate desire to obey God. As we look at David, a man after God's heart, David delighted in accomplishing what? The Lord's will. He delighted in it. His obedience wasn't motivated for the fear of sin's consequences. Rather, it was David's trust and the love for God that led him to submit wholly to the Lord. On two occasions, David had the opportunity to kill Saul and take the throne of Israel, yet he preferred to be obedient to God rather than to be king. Whoa, I'm going to give you all this. You can have all of this. All you got to do is take that one down. All this is yours. You are king. And he was like, nah. That ain't what I'm supposed to do. That ain't for me. That's not for me. That's not what I'm supposed to do. I got to follow and obey something different. How many of us in our regular lives do that? 1 Samuel 24:6 says, he said to this man, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. What a way to respond. So now when we need to make an important decision, I'm telling you, do not rely on your own reasoning. Don't rely on the opinions of others or even the things that somebody may have told you worked in the past. Step in, press in, and obey. Step in, press in, and obey. See, get on your knees before the Lord and pour out your heart. Spend time prayerfully reading his word, listening for his voice, and then follow his guidance for your life. See, in 1 Samuel 15:22, it says, but Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed is better than that of fat rams. But I highlighted, to obey is better than sacrifice. Obedience is everything. See, so what am I saying? I'm saying, hey, blockhead, obey God at all costs, no matter the consequences. See, if you will take to heart this one principles, then you will have the privilege of watching the Lord accomplish great things through you. Deuteronomy 28:1 says the blessings this is the blessings for obedience. If you fully obey the Lord, your God, and carefully follow all of his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations on earth. And that's what we need to think about. As worship team, let's come on up.